and turn to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. We're looking at Matthew's account of the birth of Jesus Christ and all the things that surrounded it. And last week, I left out one main observation. When you look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 to 17, I won't repeat it, other than there's a lot of begetting going on. That means had the son, had a son, had a son, the son of, the son of. One observation, think about these things later. Not just for Matthew, written by a Jew to the Jews primarily, focusing on Jesus as king. Mark focuses on Jesus as servant. Luke focuses on Jesus as man. John focuses on Jesus as God. But with Matthew, not just if you're going to have a king, he better have royalty in his blood, which the line goes from Abraham through David to Jesus. But one observation is that all the way back, God was working history to bring about the birth of his son. All of history to get to that point. So it's a lot more as we looked at the names and the meanings and the family tree. Some of them wish to keep the closet closed. But all of history to that point. God working. So let me read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. Not too long. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his son Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for the gift of your word to us, that we have it and we can look at it freely, without reservation and without hesitation. Lord, thank you, and that we can come to a place as this, set apart for these very things, to help us to learn and to help us to not just to know more facts, but to know and grow closer to the awesome God, who you are, and all that that means in our lives. So, Lord, thank you for that. Lord, there are a number of things going on in our church family's lives at this time. Dee Dee McCuskey, her brother, and just for your grace there, and your reality to be seen. And, Lord, in other in other lives for Jill, for Catherine, for Mark, coming up to various surgeries this month. Lord, for your help, please, in all of that. And Lord, for our lives, whatever needs there are, that if we are your children, we can come to you and ask and come boldly and ask. And Lord, you will not turn us away. So Father, thank you. And again, Lord, for the gift of your word, we thank you. Help us to engage with it by your Holy Spirit, to focus our thoughts, Lord, that your word would capture our hearts. Speak to me. Speak to us, please. Lord, for our good, for our eternity, for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. So I want to look at the man, the dream, the promise, and the decision. If you're taking notes through these, try to simplify that, but basically the man, the dream, the promise, the decision. It's just how it goes. So let's look at Joseph, because, you know, Joseph could be one of those, I don't know, strong, silent types. He doesn't say much. In here, he's not being recorded as saying anything at all. And in Luke's account, I don't think he says much either, if anything. But he is involved. And in verses 18 and 19, about this man, you have a dilemma, an uncomfortable situation, unfortunate. Actually, it's kind of socially devastating, because his fiancée, betrothed, but betrothal then was about as good as marriage now. They just hadn't gone through the ceremony, but they were betrothed, probably set up by the parents. But it was almost as good as married. And here, he's facing the situation that his fiancée is pregnant. She's pregnant. And so in the next verse, Matthew uses the words public example. Because in that culture, at that time, it could be a devastating situation for her. Because they're technically not married, but she's pregnant. Now, we know, knowing the story, that it's of the Holy Spirit. But he is described, first of all, in 19, about the man. He's a just man. Doesn't say he's a believing man or righteous. He's just. He's moral. He's law-abiding. He's conscientious that way. But he's also a sensitive man, because he does not want to make her a public example. He really cares for her. And in that time, for her to be pregnant out of wedlock would be a shameful disgrace. And it could be to the family of the young lady as well. Because Joseph could just go, it weren't me. It's not me. Because she's pregnant. And he does not want to shame her publicly. So he has in mind, verse 19 at the end, to divorce, to put her away, only he wants to do it privately. Now you'd say, but it's fiance. Well, in the culture at the time, if you were engaged, you were as good as married. You were just waiting for the ceremony. You didn't have any physical intimacy with each other, but you were waiting to be married. You were betrothed. It was that solemn and serious an engagement. And so he was going to put her away, basically wanted to divorce her, but secretly, because he cares about her. He doesn't want her to become a public name out there. I mean, Jesus talked to a woman of Samaria in John chapter 4 at the well, and because she came out in the heat of the day when there was no one else around. And in engaging conversation, Jesus told her, "Would you go call your husband?" And she said, "Honestly, I have no husband." And Jesus knew, because he knows, he says, "You've spoken correctly. You've had five. And the man you're with now is not." And she realized she wasn't just talking to anyone at this time. "Sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. How else could you know that?" Anyways, he wants to put her away quietly. He is a just man. He's a caring man. He's a wrong man. He is a wrong man. Because it says he was minded, verse 19 at the end, and that means he's made up his mind. This is a strong word. He's just decided, and that's that. You ever known anybody who's good and just and wrong? I mean, it's quite a combination. See, because he thinks he knows what's going on, only he really doesn't. He's not a saved man. He's not described as a believing man or a righteous. He is moral. He is just. He is law-abiding. But he's wrong. So he thinks, verse 20, while he thought about this, and again, the language of the Bible, God picked it, right time, right kind of language. It means he's focused on this. He's not just casually thinking about, well, is it brown socks or is it blue socks? I don't know what kind of socks to wear. It's like, while he thought on this, in a dream, so, has your mind ever engaged at 60 miles an hour while you're trying to get to sleep? And it's like, I can't get it out of there. And finally, from tiredness, but your brain is still going. And that's it, the strength of, while he thought about these things, then in a dream. So we have the man, and then we have a dream that's actually not a dream. By the way, how does God speak to a man who is good and just and honest and caring but wrong? Send him an angel. Well, in the context of the culture of the first century in Jews, for an angel to appear even in a dream was not an incredible surprise, because if he was brought up in a synagogue, he had a theology of angels already. Maybe not seen one in his entire life, but he knew they were real. So it's not a thing. That's why a dream that's not a dream, an angel. By the way, in the Old Testament, angels. Now, why in a dream, I'm not sure. Maybe it would have been too much for him when he was awake. But in a dream. So about this dream, or about the angel, actually the incredible thing about angels is their message. The angels don't call really attention to themselves. You see that at the birth of Jesus and then at his resurrection. They really don't say, "Oh, here I am, your angel who is sent to look out for you." They don't do that. It's the message. And the angel of the Lord had a message that was true. So, the angel's message. Let's look into it. Verse 20. "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid." Afraid of what? Afraid of what people will say? Afraid that you might do the wrong thing? Afraid doesn't say, just don't be afraid. So, Joseph is also a fearful man. "To take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." So in the message, Joseph, now about Mary, You can take her as your wife. She's pregnant. But it's the Spirit of God's doing. It's of the Spirit, not from the Spirit. Very careful language here. Of, not from. It's not like those, well, classic Mormonism has it that God the Father had physical intimacy with Mary. It's not there. It's not there. It's of, not from. And even when you read Luke's account, very careful language. She was given the message, and it happened within her body. So Mary, she's pregnant. This is God's doing. And by the way, the Holy Spirit, I mean, this is first century Jews. Holy Spirit? Sure, you can go back to David in Psalm 51, where David said, "And do not take your Holy Spirit from me." So if he was trained in Jewish theology, he at least heard about that there's a Holy Spirit. So, the message, Joseph, Mary, but then the message, the baby. The baby. Verse 21. She will bring forth in a normal fashion. She will bring forth, and it's going to be a boy, but it does not, the message of the angels does not say a boy, does it? It doesn't say a boy. It says a son. Grant, it's a boy, but it's a son. Son of man, not son of a man. A son, and you will call his name. And so, Joseph about you, Mary about her, the baby, normal birth, it's a son, it will be a boy. And then this is his name. This is his name. And you will call him Jesus. And so why Jesus? Well, Jesus is equivalent to Joshua in the Old Testament. And the meaning of the name is basically Savior. Rescuer. So of all the names and all the titles, I mean, I came through this and I won't read them all, but that even the New Testament calls Jesus the author of life. Jesus said, "I'm the bread, the chief shepherd, I'm the door, the faithful witness, first and last, the good shepherd, the king eternal, king of the Jews, king of the ages." Of all the names and titles that his name could be given, Jesus, Savior, because the next part about the boy, not just this is his name, but at the end of verse 21, this is his life. At the end of verse 21, this is his name, Savior. This is his life, for he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. That's his life. It is his mission. It is his goal and objective, but it's also his life. Because how many times did Jesus do a miracle in those 3 years before the cross and say to someone, "My son or child, but especially my son or my daughter, your sins are forgiven you"? Just that. Just like that. And the Jewish religious leaders, of course, had a hard time because who does this individual think he is? Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus didn't argue the point. Just said, "Well, in the case of the paralyzed man, which is easier, to say to this individual, 'Rise up and walk,' or to say, 'Your sins are forgiven'? What's easier to say?" Well, what is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, right? It's non-material. You can't see it. You can't physically touch forgiveness. It's all there. But Jesus said, so that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, I say to you, rise up and walk. And they did. Because this is his life, he will save his people from their sins. The man, the dream, that wasn't a dream. And then Matthew adds 22 and 23 by inspiration, but it's the promise. Out of the prophet Isaiah, Old Testament, some 700 years prior, the virgin shall be with child, the promise, a virgin, a pregnancy, a son, and a name. And it's Emmanuel, as was read. Emmanuel, God with us. Emmanuel. 700 years prior, a promise. This was done so that it might be fulfilled. And then Joseph, the man, the dream, the promise, the choice. See, Joseph is a good man. He's a just man. He's a law-abiding man. But we've seen he was a wrong man. He was wrong in what he thought. And then he gets a message. Now, he hasn't read the promise. The promise is for our sakes and for all those who read this through the centuries. But he gets the message from the angel in a dream. And then, verse 24. And the New King James has it, him being aroused from sleep. I don't know if you've ever been aroused from sleep. Maybe not. Maybe you've tried to arouse, wrong English tense of the word, some of your older children at some point from their sleep. Being aroused from sleep. No, it's not. So the choice that he has is put to him right away. He is not allowed to give much time to contemplate. So it's like sleep, the dream, wow, what did I eat last night? No, that wasn't the cause of the dream. And then, oh, wake up. Aroused from sleep. And then before Joseph is a decision that's put to. So Joseph, you've been told. Basically, he was told from the angel in the dream, what you were thinking was all wrong. And in your strong-mindedness, what you wanted to do was all wrong. And so he wakes out of sleep, and the record says he submits. Did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife. So they did. This is a condensation of the time frame. They were officially married, and then physically, he did not know her until she gave birth. Very serious about this, taking care of her, but also serious when you look at verse 25 at the end. It is in the Jewish culture of the first century for the dad to name the son. So don't ask me what they did with daughters. I'm not sure. But it's in the culture, and that's why the angel told Joseph, and you shall name him. Also, if we looked through the list in the earlier part of Matthew, you'll find that oftentimes names are given, oh, you're named this because of great uncle so-and-so. And then you may even find that there's one of your names you were given because of uncle or great uncle or great-great-grandfather so-and-so, and that's how you got that name. really. But there's no line of Jesus in Joseph's lineage or ancestry. And so for him to just do this, what's his name, Joseph? Jesus. So he's serious about this in his choice. So the man, the dream, the promise, the decision, observations. How does God reach someone who's good, law-abiding, just, and wrong? Answer, he sends him an angel. Wait, that doesn't happen these days. Oh, yes, it does. Because the basis of what angel means is messenger. And so God sends a messenger. And what was related to the message was exactly what God wanted the angel to tell Joseph. So we are, if you know Jesus Christ, you're a messenger. And you also are loaded with the Word of God to share. And that's primarily how God reaches a good but wrong-minded person. It's through a messenger and through his word. Number two, observation. This happened in the space of one night. You know, it doesn't take long, does it, for a person's life to change. He goes to sleep. He's just focused. He's intense on, what do I need to do? Oh, I need to put her away. I need to put her away. I don't want to cause scandal. What do I do? And he goes to sleep, and it's a dream. It's a message. He wakes up. I know what to do. It doesn't take long for a person's life to change, does it? One fitful night, and his life has changed. Go to sleep, have a dream. In Acts chapter 2, Peter preached a message to a large number of religious Jews who were in Jerusalem for an incredible annual religious festival. And if you read his message, it takes you less than 4 minutes. You can go, I could go for that. A pastor who speaks less than 4 minutes. Well, I'm already past that this morning. About 4 minutes. And it says, and their hearts were cut to the core. What shall we do? 4 minutes. You know, it really doesn't take long for a person's life to change, does it? Didn't for Joseph. Number three, observation. Even the good can have their lives changed by Jesus Christ. This is probably what I think is the greatest miracle in this passage. Even the good can have their lives changed by Christ. You know, because sometimes those who are the most hardened against the gospel are good people because they're good. And they do not have a need. I came across Timothy Keller in this, and he said, this is about two good people, because they have a religion. Their religion is, I have a good record, I have a good account, and then I develop that, I work on it, I give it to God, and then he owes me. Good people. You know, if somebody's going to go to heaven, it should be somebody like me. But the gospel is, God developed a good record, a good account, and through Jesus, he can give it to us, and then we owe him. It's just the opposite. That's why I think this is a minor miracle. Because someone who is good and wrong, his life has changed. For good people, in other words, there is no one who's really good enough for God. Because no one is good perfectly. And so God wants to give his goodness to us through Christ. So we have to ask ourselves the question, how good am I? Am I good enough? I have, if I could listen to your words and thoughts and actions, watch your actions, for 1 week, for just 1 week, and your thoughts too, would I be perfectly good? Easy answer, no. And finally, what about the name of Jesus? For there is no other name under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved. And at the name of Jesus. What a beautiful name. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and Lord, your grace in this unusual way to Joseph's life. But he submitted to your will. And Lord, your grace sometimes in unusual ways to our lives. Help us, Lord. It's not about us, but it's about your desire and your will for us. Help us to be like Joseph, who changed. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.